FNC's Carlson, Biden, Corporate America Using Diversity as Cover to Preserve and Codify Elite Class System. By Jeff Poore on December 2, 2020. Tuesday, Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson opened his program by explaining how the so-called diversity being implemented by Joe Biden with his potential future administration and championed by the media is not what it appears. According to the Fox News host, diversity was being used as an excuse to hire more of the friends of those in power, which would preserve and codify an existing class system. Transcript as follows. Carlson, happy December 1st. The year is almost over and thank heaven it is. 2020 has been tough on everyone. Americans are tired, frustrated, divided and angry. 8 months of non-stop crisis will do that to a country. Everyone could use a break. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're getting a break anytime soon because there's a new crisis on the horizon. We learned about it today. It's a bad one, we're sad to tell you. This is a threat that imperils the very existence of our nation. No, it's not a mutated form of the coronavirus newly arrived from Asia. It's not an exotic new painkiller that will suddenly kill yet another 100,000 Americans in unfashionable little towns. It's not even another exodus of middle-class jobs to China. It's worse than any of that. The crisis is you and your sinfulness, your indelible personal bigotries. You are the threat to America. That news came today from the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky. That mayor's name is Greg Fisher. As a civic leader, it's fair to say that Greg Fisher has not been a success. Louisville is a much worse place to live than it was when he took over. So as a mayor, Greg Fisher has failed. It's undeniable. So he has found a new calling now. Greg Fisher is a public health expert. That's a job with far fewer requirements and a much more lenient grading scale. Listen to Dr. Fisher describe our new pandemic. Begin video clip. Mayor Greg Fisher, D., Louisville, Kentucky. Our systems are more than broken, they must be dismantled and replaced. That's why I'm announcing today I'm signing an executive order declaring racism a public health crisis in Louisville. End video clip. Carlson, so racism is a public health crisis, says Greg Fisher. Dr. Fisher plans to attack this crisis with an executive order. Will masks help contain the spread of racism? They certainly haven't before, but we'll see. Maybe we won't see. The beauty of fighting racism, like fighting sadness or alienation or existential dread, is that there aren't very good measures of progress. You can't really know when you've won. The battle goes on forever. You're always justified in fighting it, of course, by definition. In the war against racism, you are always the good guy. No one can criticize your motives or even your competence. Compare that to normal politics, much easier. By conventional political standards, Greg Fisher is a disgrace. Two of Louisville's biggest employers just left his city. Huge numbers of people are still dying from drug odds. They had race riots over the summer. Louisville is a mess, and it's fair to say that Greg Fisher is at least partly responsible for that mess. Not surprisingly, Greg Fisher has no interest in talking about that. He much rather talk about your racism. So that's what he is doing. It's an old trick, obviously. Al Sharpton doesn't pay his taxes, then he calls you a bigot for asking him about it. But the tactic suddenly seems more popular than ever. You see it everywhere, all of a sudden. And there's a reason: the more obvious it becomes that the people in charge are stupid and selfish, the more time they spend attacking you and the country they're supposed to be leading. They divide us to keep us from noticing how awful they are. And unfortunately, it works pretty well. And that's why they do it. Let's say you were incompetent, and you didn't want anyone to know you were, what would you do? Well, your first task would be to destroy the meritocracy. That's a system that rewards people in this country for their effort and their talents, as opposed to rewarding them for irrelevant criteria like how they look. A meritocracy is the main threat to incompetent people. It keeps the incompetent from getting rich and powerful, and so they hate it above all. That's why they're tearing it down. So what does it look like in practice to tear down a meritocracy? Well, it looks a lot like Joe Biden staffing a presidential administration. A recent piece in Politico tells the story. According to Politico's account, the Congressional Black Caucus is demanding that Biden select a black Secretary of Defense. Not a Secretary of Defense who is good at defending America. A Secretary of Defense with the correct skin color. Now, feminist groups are mad about this, says Politico, Not mad because it would leave the country vulnerable. No. Mad because they want a female Secretary of Defense. What do they want a female Secretary of Defense? Because they're females. The Secretary of Defense should look like them, because it's all about them. Not about the Pentagon or the country or the military threats we might face in the future. It is about identity, which is to say it's about narcissism. When I see people in power, I must see myself. That's the demand. And not just the demand at the Pentagon. Here is how Vox.com covered the race to replace Steve Mnuchin at the Treasury Department. Quote, Lael Brainard, who is white, is seen on Wall Street and by her skeptics on the left as the most likely Treasury Secretary. Rafael Bostic, who would be the first black and first openly gay Treasury Secretary, is also receiving some consideration. Vox went on to note that some, quote, Hispanic Democrats are upset that there are, quote, no Hispanic candidates legitimately in the mix for the other three top jobs in the Biden administration. Got that? Hispanic, black, gay. Those are categories. They're not people, they're not individuals. This is about identity, not country. It's about balkanization, not unity. Straight white men are the enemy, says the party led by one, and so it goes. It's hard to imagine anything uglier than this. It's hard to imagine a more abrupt cul-de-sac. This doesn't go anywhere that you'd want to go. It ends with discord and worse, but it continues. Listen to the Huffington Post's account of the struggle to fill Kamala Harris's Senate seat in the state of California. Quote, three main camps and their subgroups are trying to influence California Governor Newsom. Those advocating for a black woman, those advocating for a Latino, and those advocating for a member of the LGBT community, end quote. In other words, certain jobs for certain identities, certain skin colors have pre-prescribed roles. How is that different from a traditional test system? How is that better than the Jim Crow South? Those are fair questions, but no one ever asked them. Instead, the media just applaud. Begin video clip. Robert Reich, author, The System, WHO Rigged IT. How we fix IT, I don't remember a cabinet or a senior appointment that are this diverse. Joe Scarborough, MSNBC host, I suspect. He may well have one of the most diverse cabinets in the history of this country. Unidentified female, the most diverse staff that a transition has ever had. David Axelrod, CNN senior political commentator. He promised the most diverse cabinet in history. Al Sharpton, MSNBC host, the most diverse ever assembled. Dana Bash, CNN chief political correspondent, and it could be the most diverse ever. Unidentified male, assembling what is essentially the most diverse cabinet in history. Wendy Sherman, former acting deputy secretary of state during Obama administration. President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris has the most diverse and competent team a president and a vice president could possibly have. End video clip. Carlson, so obviously, those people are unimpressive despite their credentials, mindlessly repeating the latest corporate slogans. But listen to what they're saying, diversity. That is the overriding goal of every appointment. Notice what they don't say. No one ever explains what exactly diversity is. Not with any precision or justifies that definition. No one dares to, and yet diversity is now required by corporate America. Their definition of diverse, the NASDAQ, for example, has proposed new listing rules that require companies to, quote, have or explain why they do not have at least two diverse directors, including one who self-identifies as female, and one who self-identifies as either an underrepresented minority or LGBTQ+, end quote. Not to be outdone, the bank, Credit Suisse, announced today it has created an index of 350, quote, LGBTQ-inclusive companies, and there will, of course, be rewarded accordingly. Now think this through for a minute. There's a lot of money at stake here with these definitions and a lot of power that attaches. At some point, we're going to need highly specific ways to verify that the people who are benefiting from these categories deserve to. That they're indeed women, whatever that now means, or that they are legitimately LGBTQ+. So what will that verification look like? Blood tests? Home monitoring? We'll find out at some point, unfortunately. Janet Yellen doesn't seem worried about that. Yellen is Joe Biden's pick for Treasury Secretary and she is on board with all of it, mindlessly. She is rich enough to be. Yellen just explained that eliminating social disparities, hard to define, is a central goal of federal economic policy going forward. Watch. Begin video clip. Janet Yellen, Biden picked to be Treasury Secretary. We risk missing the obligation to address deeper structural problems. Inequality, stagnant wages, racial disparities in pay, job opportunities, housing, food security, and small business lending that deny wealth building to communities of color. Gender disparities that keep women out of the workforce and keep our economy from running at full force. It's a convergence of tragedies. End video clip. Carlson, yes, so the idea is everybody pays money into the federal treasury, they will put you in jail if you don't. It's compulsory. They'll use force if they need to. But only some people benefit, depending upon who Janet Yellen thinks should benefit. So there's that. We should debate that. It's worth debating. But step back a few feet. What's more interesting is that everything you just heard is the opposite of the actual truth. And if you're actually in favor of diversity, real diversity, you'll notice that. The diversity measures they are proposing won't make anything more diverse, just the opposite. These proposals are merely a way for the people in charge to hire more of their friends. What you're seeing is an attempt to preserve and codify the class system that is already in place and, unfortunately, that is growing more rigid by the day. If you really wanted to flatten America's social structure, and we want that, and you should, too, because again, class systems are bad, and we now have one, if you wanted a flatter society, you would demand a return to meritocracy. You'd want a system where anyone, no matter where they were born, or what they look like, or who they slept with, could succeed. That's what we used to have. It's why we were proud of America. But it's the opposite of what the left is now demanding. So if you really wanted to make companies more diverse, and again, we are for that, you would try to actually diversify them. That means you would hire people who are not in any sense, like you, people with different backgrounds, actually different backgrounds. You'd hire more people with technical degrees, for example, and fewer who had studied marketing or communications. You'd find people who lived in rural zip codes, deep in rural zip codes. You'd seek out employees who are deeply involved in their churches or owned guns, or who had close family members who died of opioid odds. And more than anything, on day one, you would put a cap on the number of employees who went to elite colleges. Let's just start with the top 100 on the U.S. News annual list. You would outright ban Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Stanford graduates completely. They've got enough representation to last for the next half century. You'd make any previous employment at McKinsey & Company or any other absurd consulting firm instantly disqualifying. You would look beyond race and sex to the cultural markers that actually matter and that actually determine later success in a class system. You would subtract points from any applicant who had ever spent the night in Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard or St. Bart's, and you would add points to applicants who vacation in Branson or Lake Mead, or the Florida Panhandle. You would start an aggressive affirmative action program for fat people, for deer hunters, for anyone who drives an American car or eats dinner while wearing a hat. Are those people represented on corporate boards? I don't think so. Find a fat person in corporate America, there's not one. Why is that? You know why. Our leaders are doing precisely the opposite of any of that, and it tells you everything. What you're seeing is the ruling class pulling up the ladder, as they always do, as all ruling classes do. How many of the people lecturing you about diversity come from exactly the same elite background? Well, pretty much all of them. So what they're advocating for is people just like themselves. We can give you 1,000 examples. I'll just pick one. Take Marcus Mabry. He runs global digital programming at CNN. He has been in journalism forever. He's now one of CNN's most energetic diversity enforcers. Mabry never ends a sentence without using the word diverse. That's his job. And here's the interesting part. He himself went to high school at Warrensville Academy. He got 2 degrees from Stanford. Then he spent decades at Newsweek, The New York Times, and Twitter. So naturally, he claims to be highly concerned about inclusion. Listen to him from just a few years ago, lecturing his then employer about it. Begin video clip. Marcus Mabry, Vice President of Global Programming for CNN Digital Worldwide. There is a lot of work to do at Twitter and throughout tech. And it is one of the reasons I came to Twitter was I think it's so important that we're at the table. It was true at the New York Times too. We have to make more of us. We have to create more of us. Not just African American, but also Latino and Hispanics who are very much also underrepresented in technology and at Twitter. And Twitter can, I'm convinced our current leadership is committed to improving that diversity, but there's a lot of work to do. End video clip. Carlson, there's a lot of work to do to make sure that more of us are at the table. People who went to Lawrenceville and got a master's degree at Stanford. They're not enough. We're underrepresented. Marcus Mabry, now on the board of one of the most expensive boarding schools in the world, is fighting the man. Of course, he is. It's working for him. It's working for all his friends. It's just not working for you and it's not intended to. You are excluded from their inclusion. But you knew that. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.